You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. So glad you're here with us today. I'm Leah Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm the youngest sister. I'm a writer. I'm a producer. I have a new book coming out in a couple of weeks. Maybe you've heard. Liz, have you heard that?
I've heard about that. I think we just heard in the pre-roll.
Yeah. How are you, Liz?
I'm good, Leanne. And happy International Women's Day to you, Leanne. I am, I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I am here in Santa Monica, California. And I was thinking about International Women's Day because Julie always tells us what a big deal it is in the rest of the world. But also because, you know, I'm working on the World Championships for track and field this summer. So we announced today that July 18th is going to be Women in the Spotlight Day at the World Champs, even though in track and field, the women are there every day. That's what's so great about track and field. But July 18th, if you want to pick like a really fun day to attend, the morning is the women's marathon. In the middle of the day, it's the heptathlon. And at the end of the day, the women's 1500, which is going to be one of the hottest events of the whole world champs. So there you go. Happy International Women's Day.
Whoa, that was a lot. Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister and I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I'm not writing a book and I'm not organizing the world track and field. But I'm doing my best to hold up this end of the show. And just to say, really, we want to wish everyone in the world a very happy International Women's Day. I've talked about it before. In many places, it's a combination birthday, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, all rolled into one. And of course, this year, we are thinking of Ukrainian women. And we are just with you and our hearts are with you, right?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Julie. Yeah. I was composing some International Women's Day posts for American Women for International Understanding, the NGO I'm a part of, and I do their social media. Not that frequently, but I do it. And I didn't.
But today's a good day to do that.
Yeah. It was hard to say happy International Women's Day on a day like today. So mm-hmm. It was like, here's to a peaceful and productive International Women's Day, because we are thinking of the women of Ukraine. Julie, of course, you're going to bring us your unique perspective on what's happening there because you lived in Russia.
Yes.
So we'll have that later on in the show. Let's see. We have some travel tips. Put together a bunch of travel things for domestic travel. So if you're interested in women's history or great food towns, or you want to know, should I use my miles now or should I save them? We're going to tell you all that later. And
okay.
Julie is bringing a unique travel souvenir idea.
Yes, this is a new souvenir that you can get on your summer trips. Yep.
Okay. We have entertaining sisters. Liz, you have a couple of good podcast recommendations for
people.
People always looking for new podcasts. But first, Liz, we need to revisit your encounter at the gym last week.
Okay.
Sparked quite a debate on social media.
Well, I'm just going to say I have two. We know there are a lot of very important things going on in the world.
Yeah.
And we are going to get to them later in the show. But we are going to start with two trivial tidbits. You know, this is even beyond our normal tidbit segment. These are both admittedly not important at all, but we think worth talking about. So yes. So on last week's show, I told you the story of the free medical advice. You know how much I love, advice that I have not asked for, especially in the medical realm.
People really don't know how much you don't know. But it's hard to describe as a sister what it's like if you try to give Liz Dolan advice. But I just don't ever do it. That's wouldn't
well,
you say
you can do it when I ask for it, right? Just that's the appropriate time to give advice is when your opinion is requested. Anyway, so I'm in the gym, I'm working out. I have all this PT that I've been doing to rehab my broken leg and broken knee. So I'm doing that. And this man I don't know comes up to me. I'm on one crutch as I'm walking around, and which is like the signal to I guess that's the signal to give me medical advice. And so he comes up and he says, do you mind if I give you some medical advice, or what was his term? Like free, I forget what exactly he said. Free medical unsolicited advice. And so I wanted to say, yes, I do mind. But I didn't. I just looked at him like, oh, and he gave me some advice about how I was moving around. And then he explained that he's a retired physical therapist. And so whatever. So I thought, like, come on, dude. Yeah, whatever. But then in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, where many interesting things get talked about, Jean posted, is it possible that the retired PT who gave you the unsolicited advice might have just wanted to meet you? Could it have been an excuse to say hi? And the moment Jean posted that, Emily said, yeah, I thought so too. So did Jane thought so. Mary said, oh, I like this theory. So this theory is blossoming in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. And I just want to say first, in a million years, it never dawned on me that that could be what's happening there.
Like, you didn't have your light on, Liz?
I don't know. Well, so I'm asking you to, because, yeah. You know, you know me, like, should that have dawned on me? That it just did not. Again, I think once I heard the phrase like unsolicited advice, I just, even if my light had been on, Julie, I turned it off. But I don't know. Do either of you have a theory about what was going on here?
Well, first of all, I think the essential difference between you and our sister Sheila is she assumes every man is trying to pick her up. Like she assumes, yes. And woman, for yes. Honestly, like yes. Every random encounter is someone trying
to
something.
Hit on her. Yes.
So there's just a really big difference between you and Sheila.
Yeah.
So that being said, yeah, Liz, I think he was just a PT trying to give you advice. I mean, we had several PTs respond in that thread. Like, listen, it's hard for us to turn it off. And I know people feel like they have a professional, you know, this body of knowledge that they want to share. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. We didn't get any physical description. You're terrible at that. You don't remember people's faces.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ever think about how people look or interact on a physical level. So we don't know, Liz. We don't know.
I mean, Liz, you have to believe in the kindness of strangers, right? But I think possibly because of the pandemic has made us so nervous about any kind of personal encounter, that maybe that's why your light was kind of flickering there, or, you know.
I don't know how I'm going to remember who this guy is, because A, he was wearing a hat, that much I do remember. B, we were both masked. So even if I bump into him again, there's no way I would know.
I think you should be on the lookout for him and see where it goes, Liz. What do you have to lose, right?
That's true. Anyway, thank you, Jean, for raising the issue that maybe I just was not paying attention to signals I should have been more aware of, and everyone who jumped on board with that. I will let you know if anything develops there. That would be surprising, but okay. So that is trivial item number one. Feel free to continue to weigh in on that. Okay, now item number two. You guys have both had the pickleball experience. We were talking about pickleball on the show a few weeks ago. We even have a very kind listener, Leanne, who sent you some pickleball merch, correct?
Yeah, which was a huge hit with real pickleballers. I re-gifted it, you know, willingly and knowingly. And fun t-shirts with pickleball jokes on them.
Okay. So this is now, I'm looking at the front page, people. The front page of the Los Angeles Times on Thursday, March 3rd. So last Thursday, big headline, pickleball's racket problem. It's accessible, fun, and loud. Neighbors across the country are suing over the noise. So let me just give you a few details, then you can comment. A democratizing sport with a low barrier to entry. Anyone can pick up pickleball without spending money or taking lessons, years of lessons. The rules are easy to learn, blah, 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 blah. But as a result of the rapid rise of the game and the decibel level, and the crowds and vocal advocacy it generates, it's precipitated an intense backlash in communities across the country. There's a lawsuit here in Newport Beach, California, not far from where I live. Another lawsuit, a South Carolina couple filed suit against a country club near their home, alleging, I loved this detail, that, quote, late night pickleball games caused unreasonable interference with their enjoyment of their property. So, okay, pickleballers, Leon and Julie, seriously?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a pickleball is loud, right, Leon? I mean, it is, it's the paddles, and the balls, and people are having a lot of fun, Liz, okay? And there's nothing better than a late night pickleball game, Liz, because there's usually cocktails involved as well. I really believe that this is a noise issue. I can understand that. It is the fastest growing sport in America. We've talked about that. And now I read an article in Architectural Digest that it is the new hot item to put in at your home, a pickleball court, you know, so you can have your own pickleball parties because it's easy to play, right?
That sounds super loud, a late night pickleball.
Even if you're not good, you can scream with joy. That's the thing about pickleball, right?
Okay.
It's sort of encouraged to be loud. So it's the opposite of tennis, where it's like, please don't make any noise, you know, speak quietly. No, it's the complete opposite. Every shot, people yell and scream and, the crowd's cheering because people sort of round robin it and they wait on the side of the court to get in. Uh-huh. That's why a lot of people are watching and joining in. So I can see it would be annoying in the same way that it would be, you know, just a leap to live next to like a very busy public basketball court or a shooting range,
you know, that.
Yeah.
Could
or imagine, be, yeah, yeah. Football, high school football game every night would be kind of a pain. Mm-hmm. So I just am sad that once I knew this would happen, once we started talking about pickleball, we'd have to talk about it every week.
Okay. We can never talk about it again. This was front page news though.
No, I know. I mean, it would be a big deal. I can see why it would be super annoying. Okay. And it's because it's new. You can't say, well, you moved in and you knew there was a pickleball court next door. They're converting all these public tennis courts to pickleball courts.
Right. So I would be I'd be on the lookout for what your neighbors are doing in their backyard. Cause perhaps they're putting in a pickleball court, you know,
Here's another good detail
than a swimming pool. Okay. Just keep that in mind.
Here's another good detail. So apparently it gets up to like 80 or 85 decibels, which is a lot louder than tennis or basketball or anything else. And it says extended exposure to 80 decibel noise can cause hearing damage. It's equivalent to hearing a freight train from just under 50 feet away, according to a Purdue University study. So Purdue University is on it. Yeah. The pickleball, getting to the bottom of the pickleball problem. Pickleball.
I feel like we're going to have a spin-off podcast with all pickleball discussions.
Yes.
From now on.
That's a great idea, Liam. All
right, or maybe some kind of pickleball summit. Bring the warring parties together. Come on. We have plenty of things that are worth fighting over. Is pickleball one of them?
I think we can find common ground on pickleball. Yes.
All right. Well, speaking of trivial follow-ups, I also have one, Liz. You'll remember in the fall when I was invited to an online wine tasting with John Bon Jovi by my grocery store. Okay. So it was so deep into the pandemic that I had turned over my social life to Gelson's grocery store. And I had what could only be described as a late night wine tasting with John Bon Jovi, because he has a rosé brand called Hampton Water that he started with his 26-year-old son. So there's JBJ in his kitchen in New Jersey. And here's Leanne Dolan in her back office in Pasadena, California, because my husband was not interested in drinking wine with John Bon Jovi. So I felt like it was a highlight of 2021 for me. So imagine.
That says a lot, Leanne. I mean, that's how bad it, okay, sorry, I didn't mean that, because who doesn't love John Bon Jovi?
No. So imagine my surprise this week when I got another invitation to have a wine tasting with John Bon Jovi. So I feel like this is officially our second date, which is pretty exciting.
You're definitely on a VIP list, no doubt, Liam.
Who wouldn't be excited?
Here's the crazy thing, Julie. It's from another grocery store. So I don't
that
can
is,
I just
That is a subset of the universe. Okay. We talked about the pickleball nation, but the group of women that are have multiple grocery stores drinking wine with John Bon Jovi. Thank you.
Thank you for acknowledging that. I'm proud of me. And this is the note I got from John today.
Oh,
just reminding me about our date tomorrow night. Looking forward to meeting you online for this amazing experience, John Bon Jovi. So I'm very excited about this.
It's so nice that he reached out to you personally like that.
It is. And I'm going to look better this time than I did last time. I really didn't dress up, but I feel like date number two, I gotta really up it a notch. So there you go. Date number two with JBJ. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Vaughns. Thank you, Vaughns, for bringing us together.
Okay, well, speaking of food and cooking and grocery stores, I wanted to do a special salute on today's show to Mama Capra. Now, many of you who watch Cooking with Liz, you know that the winner in, what year was that? I don't even remember.
I don't know what season, but she was a winner. Yes.
I think it was the winner in 2020 on the Sauce of the Summer contest was Mama Capra's marinara sauce. And I did several Cooking with Liz episodes with Mama Capra's son, Mark, who is a very dear friend of mine, teaching me how to make his mama's marinara sauce. Well, Mama Capra passed away last week at the age of 96. She had a great life. As Mark wrote in the Facebook page, those of you who got to know her knew that Virginia was one of the strongest people you could meet. She could be stubborn and opinionated, but had a great capacity for love and kindness and acceptance. And that is all true. Mama Capra, you know, a great life. So I just had a chance to see her in November. I was there visiting. Mama Capra lived with Mark most of the last 25 years of her life. So I did get a chance to see her and we got all caught up and that was nice. I was also I was a special guest at her 90th birthday party. But the thing I remember most about Virginia is that at one point, Mark and his mama, they were living in Brazil, in São Paulo. And I went to Brazil to visit Mark, and mama lived like in the downstairs apartment. So I got there, blah, 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 saying hi to Mark. And I said, well, can I go downstairs and say hello to your mom? And he said, no, you can't. She's at the horse track with her caregiver. And so there you go. Virginia Capra, Mama Capra, we love you and we miss you already. You guys know Mark, so you just know. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, wonderful. They had a very special relationship. And I loved that he said in his writing about his mom that she loved having younger friends.
Yeah,
that's what kept her young, is that she's always had younger friends. And we've heard that from other, you know, older people, that having younger friends makes a big difference in your attitude. And it was wonderful to see all the beautiful photos of her. So yeah. Liz, what do you have planned then for Cooking with Liz?
So this week on Cooking with Liz, I was going to do a new recipe, but I'm not going to do that. This week on Cooking with Liz, I'm going to make Mama Capra's marinara, just because we love you, Virginia.
Right.
And you did win Sauce of the Summer.
It is a delicious sauce.
Delicious.
I made it just a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about her, and I think that is a great way to remember her. Let's all make her sauce.
Yeah. So the you know, all the Cooking with Liz episodes are posted on the Satellite Sisters YouTube channel now. So you can go there, and if you just search on Mama Capra's marinara. It was three episodes I did on the sauce. And then there was also a special episode when the sauce won Sauce of the Summer. So I'm going to link all of those into the Satellite Sisters Facebook group to make it extra easy for people who live in the Facebook universe, not the YouTube universe. But everyone should, you know, I don't know, go over to the YouTube universe and check out Mama Capra's marinara. So that's
wow. She had a four episode arc.
She did.
They say in the TV business.
She did. And in the third episode, where, you know, Mark is evaluating how well I did, I believe you can kind of hear Mama Capra in the background telling me that the pieces of basil I put right. in the sauce were too large, right, Julie?
Too big. I remember that. Yes.
Too big. So I was getting live advice from Mama Capra, but from off camera. So Virginia, we love you. We miss you.
All right. That sounds fun. That's Cooking with Liz this week. When we return, Julie's going to catch us up on some of the news of the day. Stay with us.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful, yeah, glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
Okay, Julie, we're glad to have you here as our Russian expert. What's going on? What do we need to know this week?
Well, you know, I just had such sleepless nights this week, without a doubt, watching what's unfolding in the Ukraine. And I believe me, the night the Russians captured that nuclear reactor, I don't think I slept in a wink.
That was terrifying to see that on the news. Really.
That was just awful. And every day reveals more awful things. My husband and I, we lived in Russia for a little over 5 years. We obviously have been following it very closely. And, you know, he was talking about it because he did business in Russia, and he was saying, you know, it was very interesting how Russians negotiate. Every business interaction he ever had with Russians, the Russians always did it the same way. Their negotiating strategy was, we win or the deal is all off. That was, I mean, to the point where
there's win-win.
No win-win, Liz. No art of compromise. No art of negotiation. I mean, you know, it didn't matter who the Russian was or what the deal was or what the terms of the deal was. You know, it was the Russians win or, you know, the deal was over. And unfortunately, I think that's very insightful of what's going on with Putin, you know, that, you know, he had certain demands for what he wanted to happen in Ukraine. He didn't get those demands. And so now he is trying to destroy the country in the same way that he did, you know, in Chechnya, in Syria, that, you know, and paradoxically, the more the Ukrainians are successful in repelling the Russians, I think the worse it is for them in terms of, you know, Putin is just
for their country.
So that is a hard one, but it, you know, helps to understand that point, his point of view, because so I don't hold up much hope for the peace negotiations. I'm very worried about all the refugees and their ability to create safety corridors. You know, I'm also watching very closely, along with my, you know, daughter-in-law, who is from Kyrgyzstan, like the anti-war protesters in Russia. And as of a couple of days ago, the Russians had arrested over 10,000 Russians. I mean,
did that surprise you? Because I think you said when you lived there, like, protests were very small and very rare.
Rare. I mean, we lived, our apartment in Moscow was just off a ring road where the Russians had a designated spot for protests. And so we've seen some of those when we were there, and there'd be like 10 people and there'd be like 200 Russian police or army people. And then, so they'd have their protests and they, you know, many times they were arrested. I mean, these protesters are getting arrested for treason, okay? It's not the same system of justice. They're not being released after posting bail or anything. They're probably still in prison. So these are large numbers of Russians that are coming forward to say that this war is over. But
you know, that takes incredible bravery.
It does. I mean, this is, you know, you're going to jail. You know that you are going to suffer, and most likely your family is going to suffer the consequences of this. So, but yet there are a lot of Russians that see Putin as some kind of savior. And that is hard to believe. But that's really what's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that, you know, everyone wants to say this is his plan all along. My daughter-in-law said, you know, there are other Russians that really support this plan. This plan is too complicated that one person could do the whole thing. So there are other people in Russia that are responsible for all this destruction. So, you know, I mean, the Russians have a tremendous sense of nationality. Okay. You know, when we lived there, like with the snow and ice, if I slipped and fell on the sidewalk, Liz or Leanne, I mean, without a doubt, people would just step over me or step on me. You know, it's just not the kind of place where people would like, oh, can I help you? Or, you know, and I think this harkens back to the Soviet Union days where, you know, that's how you got ahead in a communist country. by ratting on your neighbors. Like, you know, if they were doing something, even if they weren't doing something, if you could turn your neighbors in, it might mean you got a slightly better apartment or, yeah. you know.
Yeah, well, they certainly pitted people against each other for decades and decades. So you can understand why the normal sense of community that we are used to didn't develop. You know, in the beginning, you heard the same thing about East Germany when, right. you know, when the Berlin Wall fell. For the East Germans, after years of being ruled by Stasi, it was very hard for them to develop that sense of community.
Right.
And trust.
Yes. But now, you know, this is, I think, a very important viewpoint to understand that for the Russians, they feel they're being attacked. Okay. They are now defending Mother Russia. Okay. Obviously, that's inaccurate. I mean, that they started this invasion, but it doesn't matter. All these sanctions, all the difficulties that are not only on Russia, but all the former satellite countries are feeling the impact of these economic sanctions that are going on, because it's shutting down business. It's shutting down the ability to get capital. So it's impacting a lot of everyday people in mm-hmm. addition to Putin and his oligarch cronies. One of the people that we met very early on when we were living in Moscow was a political scientist and head of the Eurasia Group, Ian Bremmer.
Liz, oh God, you see him on the news all the time. Okay. Like everybody's favorite talking head expert about Russia.
He is. He has a lot of experience about that. We met him. He was just starting his consulting business, providing geopolitical information to companies doing business in, you know, the Eurasian part of the world. And he said something very interesting this week. He said, even though we don't think, the U.S. doesn't think we're at war, we're doing everything we can to avoid going to war, Russia thinks we're at war with them. You know,
how does that work? I don't even understand that.
Meaning that they are going to continue to attack, Leanne, because they feel that we're at war. That it means that they may expand the war in order because it's the U.S. They feel that all of these sanctions and all of these, you know, the hardships that we're putting on the Russian people, this is a form of attack. The missile, you know, whatever we're providing in terms of arms to the Ukrainian, again, these are, you know, we're at war. So,
oh my God.
I know. It's just a very worrisome situation. I do think Ian Bremmer, if you want to follow him at Twitter at Ian Bremmer, and Liz will have that.
I'll put that in the show notes. Okay. Show notes. At Ian Bremmer.
He's got some very good information. So.
Okay. So you can follow Julie and you can follow Ian Bremmer. There you go. I don't know how much more we can do for you people.
Okay. And if you're not in, if you're just can't stand any more of this, you can follow me at Leanne Dolan, because I am not a geopolitical expert. So
thanks, Julie. You just must think about it all the time.
But anyway,
thanks for your perspective. Wow. Who would have ever thought, like, just who would have ever?
Okay. Well, I mean, history teaches us a lot of lessons, Liz. And so if you take a look at history, I mean, Europe's been at war a lot over the last, I don't know, 1300 years. So it isn't that surprising. It's just surprising in our lifetime. I think that's what it is, but it's not that surprising. Speaking of history, I mean, this is a little bit of a tough turn, but you know, I love National Geographic and I subscribe to the magazine. I enjoy sort of putting together history and anthropology and archaeology and pictures of big tigers. And that's what like looking.
It's the total package for you.
National Geographic. But there was a really interesting piece by Emily Martin. And remember the pandemic that we had last week?
I mean, that's amazing. Putin has really ended the pandemic, hasn't he? Nobody's talking about it, right?
Right. Well, the title of this article was The Lesson Learned from the 1918 Flu Fatigue, According to Historians. And what's happening now in this country is almost exactly what happened in 1918. You know, you hear about that flu, 1918, a million people died. Mm-hmm. But honestly, historians do not know when the flu ended or what happened. And you know why? Because people got tired of the coverage. They got tired of talking about it. And the flu carried on past past 1920, we sort of hear about the first round and the second wave. And we all knew this 2 years ago when we started studying pandemics again, but it kind of petered out because coverage petered out. And because in 1920, there were no long-term studies about how it started, why it ended, what happened to it. Like, people just got exhausted from talking about the flu. So one of the only actual like documents in book form about what happened to the pandemic of 1918 is Catherine Ann Porter's novella, which I think we all read in high school, Pale Horse, Pale Rider.
I think we did read that in high school.
So flu historians, and they exist, ladies and gentlemen, flu historians, they turn to that book as sort of what the actual experience of the flu was like, because everybody else was just wiped out talking about the flu. They the US government didn't even fund any studies in 1920. Like, there was a bill, like, we should figure out what happened and get to the bottom of this and prevent, you know, future pandemics. Nope, didn't get passed. The bill didn't get passed. And the flu just sort of petered out in terms of people's attention span, not in terms of actual flu. So I thought that was shocking. Okay. And I think if you had said that to us 2 years ago, we'd be like, that's crazy. And you can feel it now. Flu fatigue. Yeah. We got it. Yeah. We got it here.
There should be some kind of whistle that it's all over. Is that what you're saying, Liam? Yeah.
No, that's not what I don't think it's over.
I don't think that's how flus end.
No, a whistle. You can blow the whistle, but I don't think it's actually over. But I think the big difference, as historians in this article are saying, is that this time around, we are actually putting in place, documenting it and studying it and, you know, funding like research to prevent the next pandemic. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference between the last time around and this time around. So that's the good, you know, there's no good news in COVID-19. There's no good news in this pandemic, except that like measures are being taken now so that it doesn't just disappear from history. Like historians are saying that flu has just disappeared from history, other than like some newspaper articles. That's all they got, which is kind of shocking when you think about it, because it was only 100 years ago.
I know. I guess humans haven't changed that much.
No, we have not changed that much, but you know, we can change a little, but it's, you know, a little bit like the wars in Europe. There've been a lot of wars in Europe. Just a lot, you know, and we have been lucky in our generation not to experience, but that's not what history tells us. So anyway, just thought that was interesting. Lots always to see in National Geographic, but this article struck me.
Okay. Well, you know, it is International Women's Day, and there have been a lot of very hopeful, incredible acts with the conflict in the Ukraine. But one picture really stuck out to me this week, sisters, and I know it was all over the place. It was a picture in a train station in Poland, and it was of strollers lined up. And this was Polish mothers were donating their strollers to the Ukrainian refugees that were coming across the border, because they knew that was mostly women and children, and that these young children, the babies, they were going to need a stroller. And did you see that picture?
It choked me up.
Such a heartbreak. Like, on the one hand, so positive, like just what a beautiful gesture. Well, and so many of them did it. On the other hand, what a heartbreak that this is what's happening.
Yeah, it is. But that mothers helping other mothers, I thought, was really beautiful. And I know there are lots of other acts of generosity and kindness that are going on to help the now over 2 million refugees coming out of Ukraine. So in our prayers and in our thoughts.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do. Because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge.
Okay, we're back. We're the Satellite Sisters. Hey, I know some book tour news. Just want to announce to the people on Long Island that I will be in Oyster Bay, Long Island. So, this book tour for me for Lost in Paris kicks off April 6th at Vroman's in Pasadena. And then it goes for about 6 weeks. Now, I just want to be clear. This is a self-funded DIY book tour. So...
the best kind. It means your heart's really in it. Nobody's forcing you to do it, Leanne. No. You're doing it out of love.
So if it seems like some random locations I'm appearing, it's basically where can I get free room and board and still reach a mass number of people. So that's why there are, Northern California, I'm staying with the college roommate, Connecticut, I'm staying with friends. And then out in Long Island, I'm staying with my brother, Jim, and his wife, Mary. But I will be at Theodore's Books in Oyster Bay, Long Island on May 15th. It's a Sunday at 1 p.m. So I know we have Satellite Sisters out on the island. Some of you have already said you're coming. Fantastic. Just spread the word. So that's what's happening. That's one of my appearances.
Good.
Long Island. I love it.
Yeah. I know. It'll be fun. I'm just looking forward to the whole thing. Well, and that's why I had to plan all the travel this week. So that's why I was looking at all these travel stories, and a lot of them were popping up. But basically, I've had this flight credit from fall of 2019.
Yes.
Because of the pandemic, they just kept rolling over. So I thought I better make those plans now. And I looked up, there was an article, I think it was in the New York Times, about should you use your travel miles now? I'm just going to sum it up in one word. Yes.
Oh,
use yes. all. Yes.
Why are yes. they just going to wipe them out?
Yeah, they're changing. You know, let's face it. All the airlines have lost tons of money. They've been as generous as they can with rolling over things and extending credit. But that's going to start to dry up now. They said that all these numbers are going to start to change. Used to be able to get a ticket for 20,000 miles. Now you're going to need 50,000 miles. Like, if you want the most from your miles, use them now. We haven't been flying a lot, but we've been charging a lot on credit cards and getting miles that way, according to the article. So go for it. Do not hesitate. So that's
fuel costs are going up too, Leon. So price of airline tickets undoubtedly will too.
Yeah. So use those.
Even if we just book it now, it's not like we have to go somewhere right away, but we could use some miles to book a
ticket. You need to go back to the gym. It's clear where you're going to be with your light on. Okay. And your hair done. Okay.
Stop.
Okay. All right. Let's go wherever you want to go. Just book, use the miles now. Do not save them for, maybe in 3 years, just book them. I'm using miles for rental cars and hotels and all kinds of things. So I was inspired by that. I want to inspire other people. All right. Another good food story I saw, and this comes from Fodor's Travel, and it's 10 smaller cities with surprisingly good food scene. And I like that, just that little slam in the headline, surprisingly good food scene. You know, people,
that's so snobby.
Yeah.
These food writers, like, who would have ever thought there could be something decent to eat in? And they name perfectly
Tallahassee, Liz. Tallahassee is one of them.
Yeah, I bet they have some good barbecue there. Yep.
I'm not surprised.
You know, so here's kind of an interesting niche they looked at, though. A lot of these towns that they name are also college towns. And they said there's kind of an overlap with college towns because there's a lot going on. It's a desirable place to live. People coming in from different, you know, states, different countries to teach.
So it's the other people that are moving into the college towns that's making the food good. The actual sort of local food is still the same.
Julie, excellent point. All right. I'm just saying some of these are college towns. All right. So I'm going to give you a couple, but we'll have the link to this. I'll spread it around. It's in Fodor's. And there's some unexpected choices here. And I say that with love in my heart, because one is where I used to live. So, Greenville, South Carolina. All right. Greenville. Sounds like they have a lot of things happening now.
What can we eat there?
Yeah, you can eat, they have a lot of fresh seasonal ingredients, and they have a place called Swamp Rabbit Cafe and the Swamp Rabbit Trail. Now, I don't know what a swamp rabbit is, so please weigh in, Greenville, South Carolina. I'm kind of afraid at what a swamp rabbit may be.
Sound delicious.
But this sounds fun, okay? Swamp Rabbit Trail is a well-loved grocery store that moonlights as a dance club most Thursday nights.
Leon, that's right up your alley.
I mean, when do I get the Jon Bon Jovi, invitation to Swamp Rabbit Trail? I mean, a grocery store that becomes a dance club. Julie, that's my dream.
I know, Leon. That's your winning business concept right there.
Okay. So they have a lot of James Beard nominated restaurants for every palate, it claims, Fodor's. That is in Greenville, South Carolina. Okay. What about Eau Claire, Wisconsin? I feel like we have some listeners probably
from
Eau Claire. Yeah. So they have a little bit of everything there. They have fine dining. They have first generation Mexican and Hmong fare. They have food trucks, and they have a thriving field to table movement led by Farm Table Foundation. Okay. That incorporates, farms all over the place, you know, bringing them together, getting the food to the restaurant. So that sounds fantastic. And did you know this about Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen?
I'm sure the answer is already no, I didn't.
My answer is cheese.
because I was just looking up Eau Claire on the Maps app on my phone. Like, where is that? Okay, go ahead. What else didn't I know?
Well, they have a lot of craft breweries, but Liz, the unofficial state cocktail is the Wisconsin Old Fashioned. And there's a must try at the Lakely. So if you're a local, let us know. Are the Old Fashions at the Lakely fantastic? So that sounds good.
Okay.
All right. I'll admit that
Eau Claire, by the way, is not far from Menominee or Chippewa Falls. So
okay. Sounds nice. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I have never understood the name of this particular college town, Bloomington Normal. You know, when you see that, I guess it's two towns, really, Bloomington and Normal. Mm-hmm. Who names a town Normal? I don't know. But all you need to know, of course, they have a university here. It is a university town. They have Korean, Indian, Mexican, Thai, and everything in between. But check out this product at the Rop Jersey Cheese Farm. Okay. They have fresh cheese curds, queso, farm-raised meat, ice cream, and other farm-to-fork products. Mm. Delish. That place sounds great.
Yeah. Yes. That sounds good. Let's go. Yes.
Okay. And then we're just going to do one more because there are 10, but this is where I used to live. Jackson Hole, Wyoming is on the list. So thank you very much. I am sad to say that the Mangy Moose, where I served a lot of fine fillets and prime ribs, did not make the list.
Oh, well, that is kind of après ski food, not really fine dining, right?
Yeah. No, I hope that salad bar still exists, Liz, because it had some year old chickpeas on it and they were tasty. But anyway, I think the food has gotten a lot better there, but it did include the vintage $1 million cowboy steakhouse, which I think has the same salad bar as the Mangy Moose. But anyway, I guess they could only pick one old fashioned, the Jackson Hole.
An old fashioned place with old food on the salad bar. Yes. Or a lot of old ingredients.
All right. So a lot of other good, fun shout outs on this list. Okay. How about if your travels include, it's making me put in my email address to go to this.
So this was the other story you had about good sites related to women's history, right?
Yes. Which is,
this would be a good organizing factor for like a road trip through some parts of America.
I know. That would be great. So,
I'm very interested in this.
Okay. So I had to enter my email address. So now I'll be getting emails from the travel curator. My goodness. Okay. So it's Women's History Month. We all know that. Now, how about Finger Lakes, New York? Okay. So it's in that area with Seneca Falls, New York.
Right.
Of course. That
it's supposed to be a beautiful spot. Yes.
It is beautiful. But did you know, like, there are a lot of other interesting women that settled around there. And so they have homes and museums and tours. Harriet Tubman settled in Auburn. Matilda Jocelyn Gage's Fayetteville house was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Of course, Susan B. Anthony resided in Rochester. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, center of the rebellion, is in Seneca Falls. There's actually a National Women's Hall of Fame. I feel like I probably knew that at one point, but I did not know that for sure until I read this article. So 300 inductees.
You know what, Leon? I think it's because in an episode of Veep, she goes there.
Oh, that's right. Remember? Oh, that was a fun. Oh, yeah.
There's a hilarious episode where Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the Veep shows up in Seneca Falls.
Okay, that's right. Okay. All right. So there's some good insider tips about like just supporting all women-owned food, restaurant, and hotels too in the area. So that looked great. All right, Julie, this one is for you because I know you love it. The National Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame there in Fort Worth, Texas, where we went.
I love that. I love it. It's part of my tour when people come to visit. I like to go to that museum. It's very inspiring. You really get into the spirit of cowgirls, and they have a great gift shop as well. So that is really, you can't beat that combo.
Jill, I don't know if you know, but they just did a $5 million renovation too.
Yes, so, I'm aware of that. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you come back to Dallas, or Liz, if you come to Dallas, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it was really fun. It was cool. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And then the last spot I want to tell you about is New Hope, Pennsylvania. Okay.
Oh, I love New Hope. Yes. I used to early in my career, I live very close to New Hope, Pennsylvania, Leon.
Okay. Well, this whole story just delighted me. Apparently in the 60s, there was an American actress named Odette Mertil that lived in New Hope. She was a vivacious Auntie Mame type. And she is, okay, stick with me here. And she opened a popular club, restaurant, and inn called Chez Odette. Okay. So now there's been a new edgy boutique hotel opened in her honor, and they pay homage to Odette with a lobby piano bar, and they have a special rooftop bar, and they have a special cocktail. And there's also like a free museum based around her and all kinds of, you know, fun nightclub events happening around this French-American actress, Odette Murchil. I would like that when I go. I would like
that. Seems like a wonderful women's weekend opportunity there that you could take, go with your girlfriends, your book club, your running club. That sounds really fun, Liam.
Yeah. So, go to that rooftop bar. And
yeah, I was going to say all historical sites should have a rooftop bar. I think that would increase visitation a lot.
Okay. And you know, this leads me right into what I wanted to contribute about what is now the perfect souvenir. So you want to go on one of these wonderful foodie trips or women's history trips, but you don't want to come back with a refrigerator magnet, right? Those are done. Or a tea towel. Those aren't going to work. You know, what is the new thing is to get a tattoo. Right now,
on your vacation.
Yes, that's your souvenir, Liz. You get a tattoo while you're on vacation of the location or something to commemorate the experience that you're having on your trip. How great is that? 30% of people in America have tattoos. It is no longer some huge rebellion thing to do. You know, people do it all the time. I mean, Leon, you're heading up to the Northwest, or Liz, you go all the time. Do you know there's a hotel in Seattle, the Thompson Hotel? They have a tattoo artist at the hotel. So you want to go to Seattle and enjoy the fish market and do Seattle things? Then you get yourself a Seattle tattoo. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, I'll do it after you do it, Julie.
Yeah.
You know I'm not going to do this, but Liz, there is, even if you go on the Virgin Cruises, okay, tattoo artist on the boat, okay? So like, how about that? Like on your next trip to the Galapagos, Liz, you can get a little sea turtle. Wouldn't that be good? You might. Okay. I mean, you can see what people do it. It's more meaningful, perhaps, you know, I mean, your body
getting those stupid braids in your hair on the beach.
Exactly. You know, you're not going to do that. You're not getting the refrigerator magnet. You know, you're not getting the henna on your hands. Okay. Yes. Do something. Now it's a little, you know, you gotta be smart. According to this article in the Wall Street Journal, you know, got to sort of suss out who is a reputable tattoo artist versus that you really, you know, about, you know, how good they are. And in this article, they recommend that you go to a bar. And if you see people with good tattoos, just ask them where they got their tattoos as a source.
Again, I'm really having trouble imagining Julie Dolan doing this.
The whole thing. The whole thing. It's not happening. I'm not going to the bar in Seattle. I'm not going to the cruise. I'm not staying at a hotel.
But good recommendation. Somebody's going to do it.
Yeah, somebody. I would like to know, okay, if you've done this, I'd like to know, you know, what kind of tattoo did you get? What was the purpose? What were you thinking? How's it all working out? That's what I want to know.
Okay. All right. Whew, that's funny. Okay. All right. So here we are. It's time for Entertaining Sisters. I have two podcasts I would like to recommend this week. The first one is a new 8-part series by the journalist Claire Malone. And if Claire's name sounds familiar, it's because she used to be a contributor to 538, to that podcast. She's a political journalist, but also covers a lot of other things. And now she writes for The New Yorker. But this is an 8-part series that she did for The Ringer, which is a podcast network. And it's called Just Like Us, The Tabloids That Changed America. And it's just really fun and really interesting. She goes into it sort of her obsession as a teenager, you know, reading Us and People. This is before the whole internet age of celebrity news. And she sort of goes behind the scenes of the original celebrity obsession, you know, which really was, who was it? Bennifer, she says, is really the first big celebrity news obsession. But she sort of takes you through how our media has transformed, how our gender politics have changed, because, you know, it's shocking when you look back at some of this stuff, these 16-year-old girls being hounded by the media and being judged, and the things we thought were okay in the like early 2000s, which are just so not okay now. So the boom in paparazzi to the rise of reality TV. Anyway, she's very smart and funny. And so it's a very thoughtful series, but also very smart and funny. And a lot of it is, she said, she just wanted to get to the bottom of how all of this got into her teenage brain. Why is it still stuck in her teenage brain? Not just the celebrities, but the judgments about body type and about what kind of behavior is appropriate from women, things that okay by men. Anyway, it's called Just Like Us, The Tabloids That Changed America. And I'll put a link in the show notes and we'll circulate that around. So that's a really good one, very entertaining. And then the other one is a brand new podcast from Rico Galliano. Now, some of you may remember that Rico was my co-host on our workplace advice show, Safe for Work. Some of you may remember that Rico had a long-running public radio show called The Dinner Party Download. I know many of you are fans of Dinner Party Download, which he did with his co-host, Brendan Francis Noonan. But what you may not know, the whole satellite sisterhood, is that Rico is actually going to be hosting Leanne's book party at Romans on, that's April 6th, right, Leanne?
April 6th, that's 7 p.m.
7 p.m. So Leanne will be in conversation with the delightful and charming Rico Galliano. So that's something I would encourage you to go to if you're in the area. But even if you're not, Rico has a new podcast about movies. He's a major cinephile. So there's like a streaming service called Mubi, M-U-B-I, that does a lot of international films and some less well-known things. So this is a streaming service you can get on your television, but he's doing a podcast that's all about, you know, some slightly less well-known movies that you might want to know more about. And he brings great love to his conversations of obscure movies. And almost all of these in the first season were movies from other countries that were just big hits in the rest of the world and maybe not so well-known here. So anyway, the name of that podcast is Mubi, M-U-B-I, Mubi. And it's hosted by Rico, who just is always fun to listen to. So mm-hmm. I will also put a link to that. If you are a cinephile and if you like, you know, movies from all over the world and kind of the history of movies, I think you would really, really like. It's what they call beautiful handpicked cinema. So I recommend that.
So thanks, Liz. Go. Those are two good recommendations. Yeah. I followed the one from Claire. I love her, Just Like Us. I just did that.
Liam, you will really enjoy the one by Claire, because I know you like her, but also you love magazines. And a lot of it in the beginning is just about magazine culture and the paparazzi boom and us versus people bidding against each other for these crazy pictures of, you know, 15-year-old girls. Anyway, so you will enjoy it.
Okay, great. Good recommendations, Liz. All right, that's it for Satellite Sisters today. A big thanks to our engineer, Sergio Enriquez. Thank you, Sergio. We appreciate your work. Also, a big thanks to Emily Loudermilk, who is our graphic designer, does fun graphics every week on the show. If you want to see Emily's work, please follow us on Instagram at Sat Sisters, or subscribe to Pep Talk, our weekly newsletter.
That would do you in, Liam. It's excellent. Every Friday it comes.
To subscribe to Pep Talk, just head on over to our fully loaded satellitesisters.com website with tons of stuff there, including the show notes. When people say, where can I find those show notes? They're at the website. Go to the podcast page, look at the episode, click on the three dots. All the show notes are there. So, or look at your phone. The show notes are there too, but the show notes are definitely at our website, as is the Pep Talk sign-in sheet. So we'd love to have you subscribe to that.
Okay.
All right. Our to-do list for the week. I'm going to start. I want to remind people that March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month. It's pretty sexy. That's a pretty fun month next to Women's History Month. Who doesn't love Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. Yeah. So, but because I had colon cancer and it was discovered on a colonoscopy, a routine colonoscopy, I want to remind you all to get your colonoscopy if you are due for that. The recommendations are for age 45 and up now. It's going to drop from age 50. So you may be good to go even before you know it. Or if you're due for another 10-year check, please make your appointments. That is my public service announcement for March. Thank you. Jewel, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to donate to the International Red Cross. There are a lot of agencies that are helping the Ukrainians. I think it's a great thing to make a donation to help out.
Great.
Okay. And this is Liz. And my to-do list is specifically targeted to those of you who live in Northport Village, Long Island, which I don't. So I will not be illegally voting in the village trustee election, but our niece, Next Gen Satellite sister, Megan Dolan, is running for village trustee. The election is March 15th. So, you know, get ready, people. Those of you in Northport, you can check out Megan's got a Facebook page. We are all very jealous of the Vote for Dolan buttons that we've seen in photos on the Facebook page. There's a lot of Dolan paraphernalia that we're going to get after the election, I think, whatever is left over. But
some yard signs. Yeah, I want that yard sign. Just keep up permanently.
So, yeah. So Megan Dolan for Village Trustee, we're on board. Vote March 15th if you are a registered voter in Northport Village, Long Island.
Liz, that's a niche to-do list, but I like it. Yeah, fully approved.
Yes.
Fully approved. All right, we're the Satellite Sisters. Sisters, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.